Yeah, so what I'm just going to be talking about today is where we kind of like left off from the last 2 weeks. So I'm just going to continue from there. Now, what we've been looking at is something I've titled Living the Life. And I think the first time I spoke about this, I asked the question and I said, if someone came up to you and said, are you living the life, or what would living the life mean to you? And I said, I don't know about you, but I can tell that maybe the first thing that might flash through the minds of some people, or even my mind as well, is, wow, if I had X amount of money, then I wouldn't have to worry about this, then I'd be living the life. Or someone might tell you, if I won the lottery, if I won, like in my office sometimes, people are like, man, there's this joke that goes around, if someone turns up late on a Monday, they're like, maybe he won the lottery and just decided not to come to work again. So one might consider that to be living the life. But we want to look at living the life from another perspective. We want to look at living the life from the perspective of God. And in God's perspective, what we mentioned was that living the life is actually living the life that Christ has actually outlined for you as an individual. That is when you are actually living the life. If you're living life in another way, all that is temporal. I remember that there's this survey that goes on that says that, for example, maybe half of the people who win the lottery just go haywire. Some of them just completely lose it. Some of them become so unhappy. And one might say, look, if I even put money aside, maybe I'll be able to live the life if this, and this was different in my life. Then I'd be living the life. But what the Bible makes us to understand is that there's a kind of life that God has ordained for each and every one of us. And it is when we begin to live that life that pertains to you, that's when you can say you're actually living the life. Now, I'll just quickly browse through some of the things that we went through in the past couple of weeks. Now, I said the very first thing we spoke about to underpin all what we'll be saying is the fact that, number one, God has a plan for each and every one of us. And I mentioned that plan is not something that God just thought of when you were born. It's not something that God just said, okay, I think this person appears to be a good footballer, or I think this person might be a good singer, like Pastor Benson. So, sorry, I just had to put that in. This person might be this. So I think at this point, they're going to be that. No. What we saw was that in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, it says in there, I'll just browse through this quickly before we start today's on. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, God was telling Jeremiah there, he said, look, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So before he was born, God already had a plan for him. It wasn't based on what he began to do after he was born. It was there. The other thing we looked at is that apart from God having a plan for us, God's plan is a good plan. And we looked at Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. It says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So we see here that God's plans are good. Now, we might experience bad things in life. I mean, one thing that came to my mind was in our early Bible study days, we looked at the life of Joseph. Do we remember that? The life of Joseph in the book of Genesis. And this was a guy that God had a good plan for. But if you hadn't seen the beginning of his life and that God gave him a dream, and you just saw the middle part, you would have said, man, this guy's got like a terrible life, from being chucked in as a slave, being thrown in prison, accused falsely, and so many things. So looking at the circumstances of his life in the middle, you'll have thought, man, this guy, possibly God couldn't have had a plan for him at all. But we saw at the end of it that despite all the things that happened in the middle, because he understood God and he understood that, look, God has a plan for me, he was able to stick onto it, and God's plan was fulfilled. So we see that, look, the first thing that we need to really, really settle in our hearts is that God has a plan for you. Are you cold? Okay, we can turn it back. That God has a plan for you, and that plan is good. So that's the first thing that we actually looked at. Then we now mention that before you can actually begin to enter God's plan, John chapter 3, verse 3. So that summed up that week. John chapter 3, verse 3 says, Jesus was telling this chap, he says, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So the beginning of God's plan for any human being is not how old you are or how young you are. It's not even how, in quote, successful you are in life, in your career. It's not how successful you are in school, how brilliant you are. It's not how rich or how poor you are. The first thing, the first step into God's plan is this, that one must be born again. Anyone who's not born again and lives life, although they might have success in different areas, those folks have not even stepped on the fringes of God's plan for them because they have not gone through this. So that's the first thing we looked at. Then we now said, okay, living the life, we know God has a plan for us. That underpins everything we're looking at. Then the next thing we're looking at is growing as a Christian. We now said, what does it mean to grow as a Christian? Is my growth as a Christian, or should I say, do I measure my growth as a Christian based on the number of Bible passages I can quote offhand? Do I measure my growth as a Christian based on how many times I attend church services? Which you should. But is that how we measure growth? How can I look at myself and say, look, I'm growing as a Christian? And the thing we looked at was that growth as a Christian is measured by your knowledge of God. Yes, good to know the Bible, you should. Good to quote all those verses, you should. But the measurement of growth is our knowledge of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter was saying something there. He said, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. So we see here that our knowledge of God is what actually shows or what we can use to measure our growth in God. Now, in practical terms, what does that mean? What that means, for example, is that if you know someone, like I mentioned this, I think last week, if you know someone, there's a certain level of trust that you can establish. What do I mean by that? I think I give an analogy here the other day saying, now, if I told you or if I told anyone here, I said, okay, meet me here next Saturday. Next Saturday, we're going to go to maybe Madame Tussauds or some amusement thing like we went to the other day. Now, why would you believe me? Or if I said, look, show up tonight at my house and we'll go and visit maybe the MP, the mayor or something. Why would you turn up at my house? Or why would you even bother turning up next Saturday? Because you know me. Because you know that, look, Pastor Benson doesn't kid around when it comes to going to amusement parks. Not just that anyway. But what I'm just trying to establish here is that your coming or your belief in me will be based on how much you know me. Now, knowing someone it swings both ways. Do you understand? If, for example, you knew me incorrectly, which means that you thought, look, this Pastor Benson is a swindler guy. He just walks around on Sundays, but in real life, he's a real bad guy and he doesn't really keep to his word. And I said that, you'd be like, hang on, I'm not going to turn up because I'm sure this pastor is not going to be there on the Saturday. So that would be knowing me incorrectly. But if you really knew me, then you'd be like, okay, I'll be there. You wouldn't even have to give it too much thought. Do you understand? Now, it's the same way our growth in God and our knowledge of God, that's the same way it happens. So what that means is that if, for example, God, you read in the Bible or one way or the other, you understood that God was saying, do this. For example, God said one morning, you know, I prayed to this prince, and he says, oh, move to Inverness. I didn't mention the name of the prince, so you don't have to be scared. Now, or he said, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be a doctor or a lawyer, or let's even look at everyday things. God tells you that, look, don't be afraid because I'm with you. Do you understand? Or God tells you, I will be with you. I will ensure that things go well with you. Do you understand? Why would you believe that? You would believe that because, or should I say, you might believe that if you knew God at that level. Do you understand? So what am I saying here? What I'm saying is that our response to God, a lot of times, the measurement of our growth, a lot of the times, is in direct relation to how much of God we know. Do you understand? So what I'm saying is this. For someone to tell you something and for you to believe it and to actually act upon it, it depends on, one, your knowledge of that person and your trust in that person. Do you understand? I mean, there's some people that would, if someone walked in here now and you didn't know that person at all, and the person said, same thing I said, turn up on Saturday, and I promise you that I'm going to, you know, give you a free ride, you get free lunch and all that here. Your first reaction might be, hang on, who are you? You might not say that because you're British, so you might just keep a stiff upper lip and just say, but if you're American, you'd be like, who are you? Do you get what I mean? That might be your first response. And why would you respond that way? You would respond that way because you don't know them. Do you understand? So why am I saying all this before I carry on to the other things I'm going to be talking about? Our measurement of growth is our knowledge of God, not how much of the Bible we can quote, which is good. It's true knowledge of God. And you know, one thing I always say is this. I personally think, well, I'm a very logical thinking guy. And one thing I say is that, I'm not going to waste my time or just go blindly with something I don't believe in just for the sake of it. I'm not going to do it. I don't do it. I might ask questions to clarify the circumstance and all that. But I'm not just going to do something based on what other people are doing. I'll need to really believe it for myself as well. Do you understand? So why am I saying all this? I said, first, God has a plan for you and I. That's the first thing. The second thing is our measurement of growth is based on our knowledge of God. So that's what we looked at as growing as a Christian. Hello, sir. They're just wondering. So that's what we looked at. So we said, living life as a Christian, first thing is God has a plan for you and I, and that plan is not just something that has snapped up just based on God observing you. It's been there before you were born. And the other thing we looked at was obviously growing as a Christian. Now, what am I going to be looking at today? Today we're just going to carry on from there in the second part of this growing as a Christian. So how do we grow as Christians? How do we understand God more? How do we come to the place where we can really trust God? Do you get what I mean? How do we get there? Well, the beautiful thing about this is that God has made everything so simple. Sometimes even, you know, it appears that it's, you mean that's it? That's all I have to do? And yeah, that's all you have to do. God is, he makes everything accessible to everybody. So we're going to look at two things. How do you grow? How do I grow? Two things. The first one I've called quiet time, spending time with God. How do we do that? And the second one, the second way we grow also is by obeying what we know from God's word. Now, what do I mean? The quiet time. Now, the first thing about quiet time, I'll mention three things that we can do. Now, I'll put a big PS on that. I'm not a big fan of saying these are the three steps you do and this happens. You do, you know, seven steps and no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying these are main components of the things that can really help us to know God. Do you get what I mean? Now, the first one under this quiet time is this: studying God's word, studying the Bible. Now, there's something I want to point out here. And if we look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, 1 and 2, it says that, therefore, Paul speaking, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, it says, this is the part, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Now, let's turn to John chapter 6, verse 63. John chapter 6, verse 63. And this is about God's word. John chapter 3, verse 63. Now, it says that the spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. Now, this is the part that I'm zeroing in. It says, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. John chapter 6, verse 63. Now, what does this really mean? Now, what this tells me is this, in terms of studying the Bible. The Bible is not like any other book. It's not like your geography book. It's not like your Daily Times or The Standard. It's not like your novel. It's not like your... The difference between the Bible and every other book is this. It says, the words in the Bible, they are spirit and they are life. What that means is that the word we read in the Bible, read with a heart that wants to know God, is life. Now, I don't exactly know how this works in the spirit, but what happens is this: as a Christian begins to study the word of God, that word will begin to have an effect on you. I don't know how to explain this in, what I mean by in simple terms. Literally, that word, that the word that you read here from your heart, it becomes like God is actually standing right by your side. Okay. So the words are spirit and they're life. What do I mean by that? I'll explain in a minute. Now, the other thing as well is praying. We looked at the word and praying. I'll come back to the word in a minute. I'm praying. Now, praying, as I mentioned, I think last week, if you look at the book of Psalms, you see there David praying to God. And the kind of prayer I'm talking about is not like an orchestrated, planned prayer. It's really having a discussion with God right from your heart, because God knows you anyway. And I think the example I gave was that if, for example, you're hurting or something is, you know, bothering you, there are a number of ways you can pray about it. If you took like a real, and you know, for people who pray like this, you know, no offense taken, I'm just using it as an example. You can come to God and you're really hurting and you can say, oh God, I feel this diaglystical pain in my lower limb, and I think that it is pinching quite a bit. I just want to expatiate that that pain could be, you can take that approach. Do you get what I mean? Or you can say, God, my arm is really hurting and I need help. Do you understand? So God is looking like your heart-to-heart conversation. Obviously, respectfully, God is not our body where we can just say, oi. He's not, you know, we should treat him with respect. But God wants us to have normal heart-to-heart conversation. If something is on your mind, then you should tell it to him as it is, because he knows you anyway. Do you get what I mean? So that's prayer. Then the other one is listening to God. John chapter 10, verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. Now, it says there, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The King James Version goes, it says, oh, do you know how to do? Oh, fantastic. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So this isn't saying my sheep may hear my voice. It's not saying my sheep sometimes hear my voice. It's not saying my sheep have to be prophets, pastors, evangelists to hear my voice. No. It says my sheep hear my voice. So what that means is that everybody that is a Christian hears God's voice. True. We all hear God's voice. The only challenge is that I think because we can't see God physically, and we expect God to talk to us like I'm talking to us sometimes, that's why we don't really get him. We don't really see that he's talking with us. Yes, there are times that God will speak to you audibly, but it's not the norm. It's just once in a while. If, I don't know. So what am I saying here? Quiet time with God. So I'll just, you know, reverse a bit. How, when we study the Bible and we pray, how does God talk to us? Well, God talks to us in different ways. For me personally, the way God talks to me is God talks to me through the Word. Sometimes God shows me, he shows me things. And there are times that I'm at home and I'm studying the Bible. And now, again, the other thing is this. God doesn't really have to tell you things that are groundbreaking, like, oh, there's going to be an earthquake in Guatemala. No, it's like normal, casual things sometimes. I remember earlier this year, this is God, an example of how God speaks to me through the Word. Now, the way it happens to me sometimes, like when I'm studying the Bible, certain words will just pop out. And you know that it's you that God is talking to. A typical example, and it might be, if I say allegorically, it might be in, let me not say rhythm and rhymes. It might be, what's that word? When you say something, but it's actually reflecting something else. Yeah, metaphorically. Thank you, metaphorically. So I remember, you know, beginning of this year, as I was, you know, reading, then God just spoke something to my heart. And what he said is that, oh, there's a king that arose in, that was in at the end of Genesis. It says there's a king that arose. No, I think it was in Exodus. It says there's a king that arose, and that king did not know Joseph or any of the children of Israel. Do you understand? And automatically, what that told me was that in this place, we have like, you know, we booked this place like for our meetings. So when I saw that word, what now came to my heart was that in this hotel, the manager who had been doing our bookings, who I'd built such a great relationship with, you know, I would just give us loads of discounts, nice teas and coffees for free, sometimes breakfast for free stuff, that guy was going to leave. So in my heart, I was like, oh, I hope we're not going to get someone who's really funny. And 2 weeks later, the guy resigned, and he said, he sent me an email that I'm resigning. However, so I prayed, I said, God, you know what you said in the Bible, the one that came after this Pharaoh guy didn't really treat the children. And God put my heart to rest. That no, it's just that this guy is living, that's all. And that happened just from studying the Bible. I remember about 2 weeks ago, and about one month ago, when we applied for, you know, we applied for, and by the way, you know, we've moved to our house now. We moved over there. And we applied for a mortgage for the house we're going to move to from the bank that I'd been with for several years. And they said, okay, no problem, we'll give it to you. You know, I was so happy. Our kids were like, wow, my room is going to be the one upstairs. La, 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 la. This bank now turns around and said, out of the blues, by the way, we can't give you this. But 1 week before that, as I was studying the Bible, God now spoke to me through what Psalm was it? And he told me specifically that I would experience a certain kind of disappointment, but I shouldn't worry. That he sorted it. I didn't know what that disappointment would be, but I knew it had to be with that thing. So when the guy told me, I said, oh, I wish this hadn't happened. But we sorted that out. Do you understand? I mean, there are times that even at where I work, sometimes God will just show me something. Maybe, again, sometimes God shows me things through vision. Well, not vision like that, but, and I might be praying and God will show me something. I remember I've been in several places where I've worked where suddenly I just see them sacking people at my office for no reason. I mean, there was a particular one, I think a while ago, we had this Christmas party and my company said, oh, we have loads of business. It's a bright, at the Christmas party, bright future. Everybody was so happy. They hired more staff. And suddenly I saw that they were sacking people in the office. So I think I told my wife and I said, I think they're going to sack people in this office. Do you understand what I mean? But no relevance whatsoever because our Christmas party, they had, you know, hyped us up, you know? And what did I do? I said, well, this one, I don't think they will sack me. So I'll just... And we walked into the office the Monday morning and very brutal. They just escorted some of these guys into the office and just took all their laptops and said, don't worry, just go home. We'll give you 1 day's, 1 month's pay. Don't bother coming. Do you understand? There are times as well where, again, we're praying or in the morning, it might be like, God, what's going to happen in the Sunday meeting like this? And sometimes God will just flash a picture. And sometimes I'll see someone. I remember there was a guy a while ago. Then I think when we started, we used to have the Saturday meetings. And suddenly I saw this guy's, his sons. And what did I see with the sons? It was like in 2 seconds. I saw two of his sons and one of them had like a patch here, like a black spot on the left side. And one of them had a black spot on the knee. I said, I was like, hang on, what's that? No problem. So, and I was talking with this guy and I said, by the way, I saw your sons. And I saw that, you know, and the guy was shocked. And he said, what? That apparently one of his sons has a bad left heart and knee problem that they've been praying about. I said, really? I think God wants to, you know, touch them. Or there are times that maybe, like, again, quiet time, I'm reading, and a picture appears to me, maybe about the service, that someone maybe might have like a pain somewhere, not like a, you know, like a, just, you got what I mean? And stuff like that. Or last week at my office, I was still thinking that should I, this guy is there, one guy upset me so much, I was like, I'm going to leave this office, you know? And what God just put in my heart is, Pastor Benson. And do you know what I now realize? I now realize that really, I was the one who was being funny. I mean, someone comes up to me. I don't know why I was being funny with this guy. And he asked me a question. And in my mind, like, that's a dumb question. You know, well, that's a no-brainer. Normally, I wouldn't say that kind of thing. You know, I'll just, you know. And, you know, the guy kept insisting that, you know, it should be like this. At one point, I just said, look, that's a no-brainer. I mean, that's not, you shouldn't even be asking that kind of question. And the guy, I said, really? Guy got a bit upset. And I said, okay, you know. So I was now upset. I was like, this work, they're just hustling me too much in this place. Blah, 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 blah. You know, we did this document. And God just put in my heart, Pastor Benson, you know, what are you doing? And now, rethought everything and I said, ah, that's really bad of me. I now had to go back to this guy and say, look, I'm really sorry that I spoke to you the way I did. Oh, he said, don't worry. I said, I'm really sorry. And I was going to leave the job. And God just put it in my hand and said, apologize to that guy and you're not going anywhere. That other job you think you want to go to, don't try it. Sorry. Don't try it. And he spoke to me through the sun. So why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because that's from studying the Bible. The Bible is life. John chapter 6 that we're reading, you don't have to go there. The Bible can appear to, well, the words in the Bible can speak to you. God can speak to you that way. And God as well can take it a step further and drop these things in your mind. And I'm sure it's happened to someone before here where it's like, hang on, I've seen this before. Or hang on, this looks like deja vu, they call it. Is deja vu French or is it English? Sorry, I'm just kidding. So what I'm saying is that if we begin to pay attention and we begin to be intentional about God speaking to us as we read the Bible or as we listen, I'm telling you, it's as easy as that. You don't have to do any of those funny, oh, well, you can if you want. Lock yourself up and pray and fast for 30 days. When you do such a thing, just tell me. I have loads of prayers I can give you to pray like that. But what I'm just trying to say is that God has not made it complicated at all. And as we do that, we will increase in our knowledge of God. So that we'll get to the point where when God actually begins to say, okay, why don't you do this? Why don't you go to Gibraltar? I'll go to Madagascar. We can be more competent. Or even in the things that we do every day in life. And God begins to tell us, look, that, or even little things. I was telling, I don't know if I was telling you, it was today I was saying that. Last week, I at my work as well, I'm always, you know, this happened to me a lot of times. I had this thing I had to deliver. And if I didn't deliver that thing because I had made a lot of noise, I'd say, oh, I can do this. I'll make it spin round if possible. Ask my wife. That's how so I made all these promises and the whole organization was waiting for me to deliver this thing. Because the department I was working for had gone around and said, oh, we'll solve this problem. Oh, we'll solve it. And I had to do this prototype thing. And I tell you, I've been working on it for 2 weeks and I got stuck. I couldn't make it up. I Googled the internet, which normally helps. No answer. The guy that actually wrote the thing, I sent him a message when I was quite desperate. One day, I said, look, can you help me with this thing? I can pay you to just show me how. No answer. And I said to myself, well, maybe I have to raise prayer point in church for them to pray for me. I now remember that, hang on, the Bible says that we can ask the Holy Spirit and he will show us. And I just switched and I started praying, God, you have to really, I'm telling you, during lunch break, Lord, God, you have to really help me with this. I don't know this thing. And suddenly the answer just came and I understood it. Do you understand? Why am I saying all this? I'm saying this so that when I say the way we grow is in our knowledge of God, by quiet time. I'm not saying a religious approach, saying read 30 verses of the Bible every morning, take it. That's fine if you want to do that. But I'm saying doing it from a perspective where we begin to know God and the Bible becomes alive, our relationship with God becomes alive, then we can begin to obey him. And as we obey him and we see those things happen, then our confidence in him grows. Amen. That's how we grow in God. I'm just going to stop there. I'm going to ask that we please rise and just pray.